Welcome to The Mortgage Life, a space for down-to-earth conversations about how mortgages contribute to your life.
Well, that sounds canned and maybe a little boring.
What? There are so many parts to the mortgage industry and real estate finance we can explore and share with our listeners.
Okay, you're right. You're right, Mindy. Our goal is to help secure our clients' financial future.
I'm Pete Solomosi.
I'm Mindy Bodwin.
And I'm Sue Solomosi. We're your hosts. Welcome to The Mortgage Life. Super interesting chat on our last episode with Chris Mahalshin from BDO, talking about bankruptcies and consumer proposals. So we thought we would carry off of that conversation and dive a little bit more into your credit report. What is, we also call it a credit bureau. There's various line items and trades, credit cards, lines of credit, auto loans, all different things that land on that credit bureau that basically build your report card, your portfolio that will help a lender decide whether or not they can lend money to you as a client.
Why do they even call it credit bureau?
Bureau, like an office, like a, I think of one of those like old briefcases, you know, the leather ones.
Right. And that contains your credit information.
Yeah.
When I think like a typewriter in it too.
When I think of bureau, I think of like one of those roll top desks.
Yeah.
You know,
those like bureau. With a typewriter and
my
maybe
grandpa
like a Rolodex.
Had one of those. not the Rolodex, then one of the roll top desks.
Yeah,
we had one at my mom's house.
What else can bureau
mean? That
was
a credit bureau.
It's definitely
antiquated.
Yeah. There's the word.
But let's dive into the report itself, because it gives us a lot of information.
Right. And it's what the lenders are looking at primarily. It's at least one of the data points that they're looking at to assess whether or not you're credit worthy.
Yes, it forms one of the five C's of credit, being credit.
Five C's of credit?
Right?
Do you have the five C's, Mindy?
Oh, no. Credit, character, capacity, collateral.
Charisma.
How badly do you want it?
There's another C.
So when you open a credit bureau, when I first open up a credit bureau at Lens, you know, we order it through our software. And right at the top, there's a score, a few other details, and then there's four sentences that describe why your score isn't higher.
Right.
So anything that's going to impact your score in a negative way is going to show up right at the top and tell us what we're looking for on your credit bureau. So things like your balances, your limits are as high as your balances. So you have high credit utilization. You have derogatory credit. So you've had late payments in the past and it shows up as serious delinquency. Not enough variety in your trades. So credit cards, lines of credit, auto loans.
Right. And it could be thin, which means that you only have maybe one or two types of, or two trade lines. So trade lines are like different types of credit. So thin means that you just don't have many. Thick means that you have a lot. I don't know why they've used these. It's like I'm looking at my scalp.
So thick. Even if you have a 900, which is the best you can do, there's always still something negative mentioned in those first four lines. So it's kind of funny, but sort of the best line that they say is mature and thick. So there you go. It's the hair. Think of
exactly.
Think of thick hair.
Think of Tom Selleck.
Now I just see a mustache.
Good.
It's mature thick.
One more thing that shows up there is credit seeking, is how many times you're going to look for credit.
Right.
Well, and the number of inquiries. So who has been looking at your credit shows up there as well.
Right. Important to note as well that we might look at one of two different credit bureaus. So within Canada, there's Equifax and TransUnion. And those two companies kind of maintain the credit bureaus or the credit reporting agencies for all of the consumers in Canada.
And they don't always pick up the same things.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, a credit card might land on Equifax, but not on TransUnion or vice versa. Typically, we pull Equifax and we have a few lenders who pull TransUnion after we've pulled Equifax, just so that they can see both. But you as a consumer are able to order your own credit bureaus as well.
Right. And you might be able to get that directly through that credit bureau company. So either Equifax or TransUnion. You might have a credit card that allows you to see what your credit score is, or it might have a credit monitoring device.
Ooh, I have one of those.
Or, yeah. Or your bank might do the same. So there's a few different ways that you can kind of find that credit score, but not all of them are the same. Right, Mindy?
Yeah, I was just going to say it happens quite a lot, actually. With Equifax and TransUnion, the scores don't always jive. And then I've found as well, say I pulled a client's Equifax bureau, which is the one that I'm going to use and the one that the bank is going to use, and they access their Equifax credit score, quite often their score is higher than what we're actually seeing on our end. So this has always been an interesting perspective to me, because it's misleading if we're not all getting the same credit information.
Right.
So when it comes down to it, though, what is it that we're actually looking at? What do we need to see?
I want to break down the score, because it's the first thing that we're going to see.
Right.
And the score is weird, because it's interesting to note that it's a number and it's between 0 and 900. And 0 is really bad and 900 is angelic. And we do see 900s, and we do kind of see ones that are non-scores. So we don't very rarely would we see a 0, but we see non-reporting scores.
I've never seen a 0. It's always either a beacon reject,
right,
or has an N in that spot.
Exactly.
Lowest score, actual score I've seen is in the 300s.
300s.
Same, yeah. 300s.
Yeah.
So 300 is really bad. You've got to try hard to get a bad score like that.
You've got to actively tank it. Yeah.
Anything that's kind of under 600, 580 is going to be fairly bad. It's going to require...
Can we say challenged?
Challenged. Yeah. Okay. We'll say
challenged.
I like
that word better.
Between 600 and 680 is good. And then 680 to 720 is going to be really good. And then 720 plus is excellent. So it's not a linear score. It's not like 0 to 900 and there's someone everywhere in between. It's very heavily weighted towards the high end of the spectrum with a weird bell curve around that 600 to 720 range.
Yeah, and I've even found recently, I was two summers ago, CMHC changed their threshold from like 620 to 650. I have some clients that have credit scores between 600 and 610. And even that is posing some challenges with CMHC.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like earlier in my career, and even still sometimes now, we can explain some of the credit struggles. And so really where your score ends up is, I don't know what the word is, maybe almost flexible, that if we can explain why the score is where it is, sometimes we have a little bit more flexibility with lenders.
Right.
Or if a lender has a threshold at 650 and your score is at 649, there's nothing we can do.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right. Sometimes it is a hard line.
Yeah.
So I talked a little bit about the score, but Sue, what else is factoring into that score?
Credit so the algorithm that they use to figure out the score, they're going to look at credit utilization. So how much debt you have, how much debt you carry, different types of trades, which we mentioned earlier, making your bureau more thick and mature. Your balance to limit ratios, number of inquiries. We've talked about this part. And we're also looking at the date your credit was established. So how long have you carried your debt? The longer you carry it, the longer you maintain it, the better your score is going to be.
Right. So typically we'll see that if there's an adult child that has come in with their parent, who's now a grandparent, and we'll look at their two scores, the parents of this, that's a really poor explanation.
Sure, try again. Try it again.
Cut that all out.
Wait, one, two, three.
So typically, if we're looking at someone that's a bit older, so let's say someone in their 50s or 60s, they will have more length of time on the bureau. So their score has a lot longer time to establish, and they'll typically get up to those higher numbers a lot quicker than someone that's in their 20s and 30s.
Another note on timing is each debt is going to show a date of last activity. So when did you last use this debt? When did you last make payment on that debt?
And kind of getting back to the somebody in their 50s, 60s versus somebody just starting out, I think a big question becomes, how does one establish credit? So you could contrast, say there was a missed payment by somebody in their 50s or 60s, that's going to have less of an impact on their credit score than if it was somebody who's just starting out. So the biggest thing in order to build credit in Canada is that you need credit. So it seems counterintuitive, but yes, you need to have a credit card in order to establish credit for yourself. And most importantly, you have to make your payments on time and you have got to keep your balance within your limit.
And there's various ratios on how much of your balance to limit you can hold. So if you've got 50% or less of your limit owing, so you have a $1,000 limit, you owe $500 or less, and you're making regular payments, that's going to benefit your score. If it's between 50 to 75%, and these are really just general numbers, 50 to 75% you're going to maintain. And then if you've got a balance that's over 75% of the limit and it kind of lingers there, that's going to be pulling your score down.
Right. So for instance, if you have a credit card and it has a $1,000 limit, if you're constantly at $900, $950 on that card and you don't really ever pay it down below that number, then that's going to actually bring your credit score down over time. So like Sue said, bring it down below 50% and it'll actually have a positive effect on your credit score.
And there is no magic formula. There is no set way that a credit score is determined.
Not that we know of anyway. Yeah. It's like the care milk recipe.
Yeah, really this conversation is just about the factors that we see that will typically boost a score over time.
So how does someone establish that credit? We talked about starting to get credit. But I think it's important to kind of chat about why or how someone does that. So one of the things that I always recommend people do is potentially take out a joint loan, maybe even with a parent. So sometimes if a person's getting their very first car, like a $5,000 car, their parent might co-sign for them, but that co-signing puts something that's now reporting onto their bureau. Something like a prepaid credit card, also another way to establish credit.
I was just going to say that that's a great way, especially for people post consumer proposal or post bankruptcy, yeah. That prepaid credit card is a really good tool.
Right. Like Chris talked about in our last episode, the first piece of advice he gives to people is go get a credit card with a small limit, use it for one thing that you regularly purchase and then pay it off right away. Gas, groceries.
Yes, absolutely.
Those kinds of things for sure.
We know that people can get themselves into trouble. So how soon after they get into trouble or through like consumer proposal or bankruptcy, can they then go and seek a mortgage?
My answer to that question is it depends on the lender. It's an interesting space. It depends on the client. It depends on the lender. There are set numbers of years for each of these, but even then I find it just is the file overall. Honestly, Sue, in the alternative lending space, I would say this is probably something that you would know better.
Yeah. If you're past 2 years, you want 2 years past your consumer proposal or bankruptcy in order to have the opportunity to rebuild your credit. And when I say rebuild your credit, I mean use those credit cards, use the loans, pay them off. If you have a late payment after consumer proposal or bankruptcy, that's a red flag, and it's going to make it a whole lot harder to get financing for you. So if you've rebuilt your credit with at least two trades, when I say trades, I mean a credit facility, some kind of loan.
So it could be a loan, could be a line of credit, could be
two credit cards.
Two credit cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Use them, pay them off, and show that you now know that you're past your consumer proposal, past your bankruptcy, and you now are able to manage your credit, that you've learned something from the process.
Pause.
At least it's not awkward. We're both just kind of smiling at each other here. We're like, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What was the question again? How does one, how long does it take?
How long does it take rebuilding all that?
Well, it does depend on the scenario too, I find, because every time I've had a bankruptcy or consumer proposal file, honestly, I am on the phone with multiple lenders. I'm emailing, I'm reading the fine print, trying to find something that works. So yeah, it can be a little complicated, but definitely, once again, there will be a solution. Mm. So one of the things that we touched on our last episode with Chris was debt consolidation. Consumer proposal, bankruptcy, he's an insolvency trustee. From our perspective, we can also manage debt consolidation. So when you pick up the phone and call your mortgage broker, when you're finding that, you know, you're just not getting ahead of making those credit card payments, you're not able to get below that 75% or 50% balance to limit on your credit cards, you're just feeling like it's snowballing, and you own a home and your home has increased in value and you have some equity there, that's when your mortgage broker can really help you out doing a refinance or an equity takeout or putting a home equity line of credit behind your existing mortgage to pay out those multiple debts, making it into just one payment, right, and quite often at a much lower interest rate.
For sure.
But a great point that our last guest, Chris, made was that if you're in the situation where you're carrying a lot of debt, you're not entirely sure what your path forward looks like, you're feeling overwhelmed, that's when you can go talk to a trustee. It's never too early to have the conversation with someone like Chris at BDO about what your credit portfolio looks like and how you can manage it better. We, as mortgage brokers, can offer solutions, can offer some perspective on what your credit bureau looks like and how that plays into potentially getting a mortgage in the future. Also an important conversation, but to just get a handle on your debt. It doesn't mean you have to do a consumer proposal or a bankruptcy. It just means that, you know, someone else is going to look at it and help you find a path forward. So I'll just repeat one more time. Equifax and TransUnion are the two credit carriers in Canada. You can find out your own credit score and what that portfolio looks like.
Well, it's always a good idea. So I've seen names misspelled or different birth dates or loans not showing up or a loan showing up that was paid off 2 years ago. Just another one of those key pieces of our overall financial picture that we need to stay on top of. We can't just assume that somebody else is managing it for us because they're not. It's just data for them. But for us, it's very important. Very, very important.
This is The Mortgage Life.
We look forward to continuing the conversation.
So come back and listen.